Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome back to part two of The Moon Underwater, where we are joined by Liam Williams, who is creating his perfect pub. And apologies for having you on those naughty and naughties tenterhooks for so long. My answer sheet is completely blank. Don't know how any of you have done. One of the questions did rely on you having visited a specific web page.
No, I don't think it did. Wait. Press pause. The idea with that, A, that list went viral last year. B, you can just take an educated guess as to what might be the best Landfill Indie song. So, as Quizmaster, I have to say, I think I was being fair and just in my choosing a question. So you haven't got any answers then, John?
No, none at all.
Okay, so Liam, let's see how well you did. Who had a hit with Let's Dance to Joy Division?
Was that the Wombats?
It was the Wombats. Question two. Last year, Vice published the list of top 50 greatest Landfill Indie songs. What was number one? What are you saying?
I'm not sure. I thought it could be Razor Light. It could be Fratelli's. If it were Razor Light, I'd guess The Golden Touch, Girl with the Golden Touch. Fratelli's, I would guess Chelsea Dagger. I'll pick a side. I'll say Fratelli's.
Well done. It was Chelsea Dagger by the Fratellis. Absolutely brilliant. I went through some of the list, and some of those songs are really, really bad. But I'm not going to name names. But yeah, it was the Fratellis at number one there. Okay, which song contains the lyrics? When she wakes up in the morning, she writes down all her dreams. It's like the Book of Revelations or the Beano or the unabridged Ulysses. Do you know that one, Liam?
Yeah, I think it's What a Waster by The Libertines, rather than Baby Shambles.
It is The Libertines, What a Waster. Yeah, well done. That's 100%.
Brilliant. That doesn't reflect well on me, does it?
It does. It's great. And I wonder, our producer, Matt, I do strongly suspect he may have got all three of those as well, but we'll find out at the end of the show.
Right then. So we're all now experts on Landfill Indie, and I'll certainly be going to check out all of those songs. But Liam, we return to your fantasy pub of the mind, your tavern au la tête. What spirits would you have? Are you a spirit drinker?
Yeah, I mean, within reason, to an extent. I think my first spirit will be a whiskey. I generally drink beer, but sometimes the mood transcends to a point where beer just won't do it anymore. You know, beer's not enough, and whiskey is generally where I'll go at that point.
You've tried to get your key in the lock. You can't quite find the right key, so you just want to hammer down the door.
Yeah, well, sometimes. You just got to kick the door in. But sometimes it's more the nature of the conversation has just become a little more interesting, a bit more profound, perhaps. It's a special occasion, you know. You're trying to persuade somebody not to get divorced, you know. It's time to get a whiskey.
Sometimes you want Genesis, sometimes you want Phil Collins, you know. You've had enough of the sophistication. Let's just get to the hits.
Well, no, but actually I think of whiskey as being more sophisticated.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's the other way around. Sometimes you've had enough of Phil Collins, you want, let's have some Genesis.
Yeah, I'd love to meet the person who'd start the evening on whiskies and then switch to beer at about midnight.
Yeah. Have a nightcap and it's a can of Stella. Actually, I've done that, sorry.
If I can, I'd like a Laphroaig. If there's a Laphroaig available.
You certainly can have a Laphroaig. And I think Laphroaig does fit with your pub. It's dark interiors. It's candlelight. And to use that phrase again, the warm bloom of air. I think Laphroaig has a definite bloom of air, doesn't it, coming out of it? So, I mean, I find it personally repulsive, but it does have it is a bloom, is what I'm saying.
It's an autumn night, a bonfire. On an autumn night is Laphroaig, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's quite peaty. And in lockdown winter last, it was at that point where we thought there was going to be Christmas, and then suddenly there wasn't. I thought I was going home to Leeds, and then that became impossible. And to treat myself, I bought myself a bottle of Laphroaig quarter cask. They do this quarter cask. Which maybe I was just hoodwinked by the branding, but the idea is like, because it's the smaller cask that that flavor's even more intense, and I like it intense, guys. I like it smoky, oaky, peaty.
Yeah. So are you going for the Laphroaig quarter cask as your spirit of choice?
Yeah, I think I am.
Great.
Yeah.
And your second spirit?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna say a generic tequila. Like whatever, Jose Cuervo, whatever it is, whatever the entry-level tequila is. Because tequila, you know, fortunately a little less these days, but that's kicking in the door.
Yeah, you've lost your key.
That's the battering ram. If you really want to take the night a higher level in some ways, not a more sophisticated level, far less sophisticated, but more interesting. Perhaps.
So you've gone from Phil Collins... to Genesis, to what are we saying? Take that?
The Fratellis? I don't know.
The Fratellis, maybe.
Oh, that's interesting.
You're in The Moon Underwater, which is one of the most incredible, mind-expanding places on Earth. And to expand our minds even further, it's the lovely Robin with the Moon Underwater Pub Library.
Thanks, John. So this week on the Pub Library, I've got The Outrun by Amy Liptrot, which we mentioned in a previous episode, actually, the Adrian Charles episode, we mentioned it. So here at The Moon Underwater, we try not to shy away from the various and many negative problems with alcohol. And this book really reflects that. It's a memoir about Amy Liptrot had a alcoholism and using AA managed to kind of she's sober now, and she basically went back to the Orkneys where she grew up and started getting very into nature. So it's an amazing book because it's about the healing power of nature, and it's about kind of dealing with that and coming to terms with yourself, dealing with your past, I suppose, and coming to terms with yourself. It's a very, very beautiful book. You've read it, haven't you, John?
Yes, I have. It's a fantastic, fantastic book.
Do you know of this, Liam? Have you heard of
it? I've read it as well. I absolutely loved it. Yeah, it's really good. Really good. Yeah.
And I think anyone, no matter what your relationship with alcohol, I think you will find something of value in there as well. And obviously, as I said, the nature writing is beautiful in itself. So there's so much there for everyone. One reason alcohol is addictive is that it doesn't quite work. It's difficult to get enough of something that almost works. It temporarily gave some relief, so I chased it again and again. My Fata Morgana, and it made me feel worse. For me, alcohol had become a mirage. It wasn't a solution, but I hoped it was going to be and kept returning to it desperately. And this is just from the end section, where she's getting a ferry away from the island she's on the Orkneys. Rain on me, strike me with fire. I feel like lightning in slow motion. I am one fathom deep and contain the unknown. I am vibrating at a frequency invisible to man, and I'm ready to be brave. From the upper saloon of the MV Torfin, I watch Pape disappear over the horizon. The last 2 years stretch and glitter behind me like the wake of the ferry. The powers are churning inside me.
That's
good stuff.
It's amazing description of the sort of the, like the electric shock of sobriety for so long suddenly makes you feel sort of elemental.
Yeah. And she writes so honestly and openly about her problems as well. What did you think of the book, Liam, when you read it?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I think I bought it in Edinburgh towards the end of the Fringe one year. I found it. There was a bookshop, I don't know if it's still there, opposite the Pear Tree.
Oh, it sells a lot of political books and...
Yeah,
I know the one.
It was just in there. And yeah, maybe the themes, I suppose, as tends to be the case towards the end of The Fringe.
Yeah.
The themes of questioning one's alcohol intake become particularly pertinent. And I've actually got more and more into nature. I know that's a generic thing to say, but more and more into nature over the last few years. So yeah, when I read the blurb of that book, I just thought this sounds right up my street, and it did not disappoint. Yeah, really, really powerful book.
And you've published your first novel last year, is that right?
Yes, last summer, yeah.
Hmm. So how was that kind of born out of the pandemic, or was it? I mean, I guess not, but I mean, it came out during the pandemic, but
it was born out of a trip round Europe that I did in 2017, I think. I'd never really done a gap year, I'd never had that like extended period of travel that was not like something that everybody's entitled to, but it's the thing people like to do, and it sounds brilliant. And so I sort of finally was able to do it about the age of 30, and I just went around Europe, I suppose. Having the kind of modern equivalent of a grand tour, museums and cafes and a lot of bars, obviously not pubs, but bars being the European equivalent of pubs. And I think while I was there, I intended to write a different novel and just never got on with it, and instead spent most of my sort of sitting down time just writing a blog about what I've been doing, you know, just my sort of experiences and reflections of going around all these European cities. And so came home and my literary agent said, what have you got? And I said, I've got a 50,000 word blog about all the coffees and beers that I had. And she was like, okay. And funnily enough, nobody seemed particularly interested in that. So I sort of accepted that it was probably just bound to be a kind of vanity project. Maybe I was going to try and record it as a podcast, just as an audio thing, you know, and put it out kind of for free. And then out of the blue, a publisher said, I think we could turn this into a novel. And she had some good ideas for giving it a more conventional kind of fictional novelistic structure. And so that became the project for the next year or so. And then it came out last year.
Amazing. Cool. And what's it called?
It's called Homes and Experiences.
So in some ways, the novel started as Phil Collins, but turned into Genesis.
If you like. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we don't just have a library here that Robin has rightly entered the Outrun by Amy Liptrot in, but we also have a jukebox. We've heard about your love of landfill indie, Liam, but if you had to have one album that you wanted to be playing when you walked into your dream fantasy pub of the mind, what would it be?
Well, it's not going to be like my favourite album as such. It's going to be a good drinking album, a good pub album. It's going to be Rum, Sodomy and the Lash by the Pogues. Just a fantastic album. Like, it's not, you know, it's not the best album you'll ever hear. You know, you're not going to necessarily recommend it to everybody that you meet. But for jukebox purposes, if you want to put something on that's gonna befit a drinking atmosphere in all its shades, whether that's, you know, dancing on the tables or that sort of melancholy, wistful, sitting in the corner while... Also, I need to say, I want the 2005 reissue, which has A Rainy Night in Soho on it. That's the key track for me. But it wasn't on the original album.
Am I right in thinking that this is the second time we've had the Pogues on The Moon Underwater, Robin?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it Rum, Sodomy and the Lash the last time?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, that's fine, though. That's
but it good. Wasn't the 2005 reissue.
Well, there you go. There you go. I'm adding the reissue. There's about five bonus tracks, four of which I don't even know, but we get A Rainy Night in Soho, which I think is an integral jukebox track.
So it's an album that sort of has something for everyone in the drinking spectrum.
I would say so. I mean, like some people, like I've got more and more into the Pogues the last few years, and some people just can't get past them as a kind of novelty band, I guess. But and I kind of get that, but I just think they're fantastic. And if you can get past the slight silliness of the Pogues and beyond Fairy Tale of New York, which I do think is a good song, not everybody does, but if you can take the Pogues seriously as a band, which I think they deserve to be, then yeah, I think there's something for everybody in the pub.
Well, Jimmy White, I'm on again, the pub where I was born. He played it from the night time to the peaceful early morn. He served the souls of psychos and the men who had the horn. And they all left very happy in the morning. But Jimmy didn't like his place in this world.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Adam Hurry, host of Football Clichés, a truly unique podcast brought to you by The Athletic. Twice a week, my guests and I tear apart the language of football, the words, the phrases, the mannerisms, and the weird habits of everyone involved in the game. From the shoes that football pundits are legally required to wear, to the didn't play for Sam Allardyce's Bolton but really should have done 11, Football Clichés explores all the tiny things that you didn't realise you cared about, but believe me, you do.
Well, Liam, we have one more choice for you in your early 20th century pub with its dark interiors, its hanging baskets to provide a bit of brightness on the outside, its interesting tiling and its candlelit warm bloom of air and that musky human smell that you missed so much during lockdown. What's your wild card choice?
Okay, there's two possibilities here. I'd love it if you guys can help me a little bit. One is Calvados, which I tried during that trip around Europe. I drank it in Paris one day just because I wanted to be sophisticated. I'd heard of it. I didn't really know what it was. I said, bring me a, si vous plaît, bring me a Calvados. And I think it's like a French apple brandy.
Yeah, it's like it's sort of apple's chunk of the spirit realm.
Yeah, it's not like cider. It's like an apple-y spirit sort of, yeah.
Right, yeah. It's a brandy from Normandy, made from apples, or sometimes from apples with pears. Mm.
It goes down nice. And it just occurred to me, it's like, this is such a nice drink, but you never see it. You never get it, you know, you never get it.
Bit like Armagnac.
Is it so nice that, like, you just start thinking, why don't we just drink this all the time? Because I had that with Amaretto recently. It's like, well, how is this so nice? This is too nice. Why isn't this just the standard drink?
Amaretto's like, have you guys talked about this before? It's like, Amaretto's like pretty luxe, right? Like, that's, you couldn't drink that ever. It's quite rich and
it's very, very
extravagant.
Strict, yeah.
It is, but it's really, it's sort of like what you imagine whiskey tasted like when you were a kid.
Yeah.
It's kids' whiskey.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids whiskey for children.
Imagine if they just started selling it for like that.
Get in the garden and drink your amaretto.
What, you mean so it hasn't got alcohol in it? No, it's got alcohol in it, but it just tastes nice, so kids will love it, you know.
Yeah, I think that actually it's more of an everyday drink than amaretto. I don't know what I don't know what explains the low uptake of Calvados. Probably British exceptionalism. And then the other one on the same sort of theme, the other possibility is Picard. Do you know Picard? Is that what it's called? I think this is like an orange liqueur. And I've tried this. You pour it into the top of a beer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm just getting a lot of kind of Jean-Luc Picard coming up in my mind when I look for it.
Yeah, I think it's the same spelling. No. Picard is wrong. Hang on, backtrack on all this. Pecan. Pecan.
How do you spell that?
P-I... Wait.
Is this truly a liqueur of the mind?
It could be, you know. Yeah, P-I-C-O-N, that's it. Yeah, yes, that's it. Pecan. Pecan.
A l'orange. Liqueur bitters. Ah, okay.
So, pecan, I'm slightly concerned if this choice is going to be partly down to me between the two. Is pecan sharing its sort of ancestry with Campari and Aperol? Because I can't stand that flavour.
It looks like it should be in the background of a Toulouse-Lautrec painting, the bottle.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those kind of bottles that you'd see in a French brasserie.
It's a little like those, but more orange. More orange. I suppose they're quite orangey. So, yeah, maybe if you've got strong feelings against those...
Well, you mix it with a Pilsner or wheat beer to create a potent brew known simply as pecan bière, which I'm guessing is a little bit like a sort of, you know, some people have lager and lime.
Lager top or something.
Lager top, but a sort of stronger one. Well, Liam, as much as I would love to give you two wildcard choices for your Pub of the Mind, I do have to restrict you to one. So is it going to be Calvados or Picard?
It's apples or oranges, really, isn't it? It's apples or oranges.
It's really, truly apples or oranges. Do you know what? We'll go Calvados. I'd love to see that get a bit more airtime, yeah.
Okay, so Picard has been struck from the records of your mind, and Calvados sits there. And I think it probably will. It'll have its moment. You just, you know, so many different aperitifs and spirits are having sort of rebranding. It's only a matter of time until suddenly the Edinburgh Festival is sponsored by Calvados.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But I would like to go to this pub, but I mean, there's not a lot for me at the bar, but I am intrigued by the pub. I would be sticking to Woodford's Wherry, I think.
You'd have a Wherry, would you?
Yeah, I'd enjoy that.
And a tequila? We'd have a tequila?
Yeah, I do like tequila.
I'd have a Wherry, and I think I'd have a black lager, but I'd sort of drink it with the lights off because I think the colour just would put me off a bit. So I'd turn the lights off and I'd have a Schwartz beer.
Well, it's very dark anyway and it's only candlelit. Or you could have it from like a pewter tankard so you wouldn't be able to actually see what was inside.
Well, Orwell, I rediscovered today, there's a bizarre bit in The Moon Underwater where he says he finds drinking beer out of glasses weird. And he thinks we should have them out of, what does he say, like China cups or something?
That must have been the thing at the time. But
it's one of those details that really kind of dates it to that specific period, isn't it? Because it's so kind of unknowable what he's talking about in a way, isn't it?
You'd feel like you were drinking a big cup of tea.
You're barred.
What one practice or item or behaviour are you going to bar from your pub, Liam?
I hope I haven't just like really taken the boring route here, but I wouldn't put televisions in my own pub anyway, and no one's going to bring televisions in. But I do hate people sitting with a tablet and their headphones on watching like TV shows in the pub or even I'd go further than that. I'd ban people showing each other videos and I'd ban video content. I'd ban the playing of videos in the pub. You can use your phone, you can send text messages, you can check things on your phone, you can use a laptop, but you can't watch video content.
That's such a great thing to ban from a pub.
Maybe you can't scroll. Maybe you can't scroll through social media timelines.
Well, it's got to be one or the other.
All right. No video. No video content.
I like the banning video. It's so hard to police as well, isn't it? You know, you might be reading a kind of New Yorker article, but there's a YouTube video embedded. Whoa!
You've got to use a pop-up blocker. You've got to use an ad blocker.
Yeah, that's the condition. Yeah, pop-up blocker. Good name for the pub.
Because it's barred in your dream pub, it sort of polices itself. So it's like everyone automatically has an ad blocker, a video blocker, a YouTube blocker. And also, it may say forwarded many times, but you're not going to know what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. There's an ethereal ad blocker in.
Hurry up, please. It's time.
Liam, what are you naming your pub?
So I was thinking about this a bit because I'm a lover of traditional pubs. You know, I consider myself a sort of vaguely radical Republican guy, but I can get, you know, I like this sort of all the evocations of the monarchical pub names we have in this country, but I prefer the more nature-based traditional pub names. Most of all, the Green Man is like one of my favourite pub names. I don't think I've ever been in a good pub called the Green Man. There's about three in London and they're all average.
There's a good one in Bristol.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a very good one in Bristol. What does the Green Man, the image, what does that bring up in your mind?
Well, I think it's like a folklore figure. I think like in even like Arthurian type literature, like traditional English literature, there was this idea of the Green Man, who was this like slightly supernatural being who like lived in the woods, and he was like maybe like partly made out of trees and leaves and things. And I just, yeah, as I say, as I become more of a nature boy, I love this idea of the Green Man. However, that name already exists for a lot of pubs, and it's pretty patriarchal. It's pretty old-fashioned. So I'm proposing the Green Woman. My pub's going to be the Green Woman.
Oh, lovely. That's a very nice vibe. Have you seen The Green Knight, the film?
Yeah.
I was going to watch it last night, but instead I watched a documentary about New Labour. Is it as amazing as I've read?
It's pretty good. Yeah. I love that story anyway, and it's not a bad rendering, yeah.
Decent. I think visually it's amazing, but they do change a lot about the plot of The Gawain and the Green Nut, and I don't really know why they did, because the plot is so good, and the changes don't really seem to add anything. But anyway, it's very, very good. It's very impressive to watch, I think.
Yeah, I'd recommend. And the Green Knight is like the Green Man. He's this sort of strange. Is he sort of biological? Is he more plant than man?
Mm.
Sort of ambiguous figure. Yeah. And I'd love to meet a woman like that. You know.
So do you hope that your pub will be more inclusive to women? Because and that's reflected in the name change.
Absolutely. Because pubs, this is the thing, and I know you guys kind of acknowledge this. Pubs, I love pubs, but they can be very old fashioned. They can feel regressive in lots of ways and inaccessible to anybody who's not a sort of straight white man. So I think I want to make it feel more gender inclusive.
What a fantastic note to end on. But what song would you like from Rum, Sodomy and the Lash to play you out?
It's got to be A Rainy Night in Soho.
Thank you, Liam Williams, for joining us here at The Moon Underwater. We wish you safe travels back to the other realm. And with him, he takes the Green Woman, his dream pub, to call upon whenever he needs its powers and its resources and its comfort and succour the most. Until next time, bye-bye.
I've been loving you a long time. Down all the years, down all the days. And I've cried for all your troubles.
Bye-bye, Liam! Bye-bye! Fare thee well! Hold the hand of the realming mensch! Bye-bye, Liam. What a treat it was to speak to Liam Williams. Bye-bye. Bye-bye! Bye-bye, Liam! He's waving. He's waving with seven hands.
I love his voice. I love Liam Williams' voice. It's very deep.
Great voice. Great voice. Mm. Well, folks, usually we would tell you who our guest is next week. But in a sense, our guest is everyone. Because next week will be a special Christmas episode of Yuletide Cheer and Thusly Merriment. As we look back on some of our favourite choices in The Moon Underwater over the past year, thank you so much for supporting us throughout this I guess it's our virgin year. Obviously, the moon underwater has existed for billions of years. The Big Bang created nitrogen, helium, the moon underwater, and gas. But we'll be looking back at some of the choices our guests have made over the year. And if you would like to support us further, if you'd like to go that extra mile, then do head over to moonunderpod.com and link through to our Patreon page, where you can gain all manner of things. Also, there's merch these days. You can get signed
merch.
Moon Underwater prints. You can get pint glasses with the wonderful artwork from Jem Ward, who is son of George Egg, aka the Snack Hacker, and a very, very talented graphic designer. So do check him out on Instagram. And we will see you next week for our special ep.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.